As we start this new series, The Power of One, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that you can make a difference? Now, many of you that are watching would probably say, no. Well, you'd be wrong. In fact, it was Helen Keller who said, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. She understood the power of one person. You know, the number one characteristic of successful people is that they truly believe that they can make a difference. I want you to meet Chad Pogrecki. Now, Chad actually grew up in East Moline, Illinois, and he had a passion and a desire to clean up the Mississippi River. Now, Chad, along with all of his volunteers, have cleaned up 67,000 tires, 218 washing machines, 19 tractors, 12 hot tubs, 4 pianos, and 1,000 refrigerators from the Mississippi River. I mentioned his volunteers earlier. He actually now, right at this moment, has 117,635 volunteers that too desire to clean up the Mississippi River. Together with all of his volunteers, and over the last 15 years, they have removed 10,845,545 pounds of debris out of this one river. Chad never anticipated getting to that level of removing millions of pounds out of the Mississippi River on his own. He started as one person, and it turned into over 117,000 people. The power of one person. They believe that they can make a difference. That's the change. Think about Malala. Malala fought for the right for girls to have an equal education as boys in her country. She was the youngest person ever to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Or maybe we think about Greta Thunberg. Greta was just a 12-year-old child when she began to stand out front of the Senate of in Sweden and demand for climate change. Now she leads millions of people in the fight against climate change. And we see examples of this throughout history. One person making the most impact and the difference in the world around them. 3 years ago, our own church, Trinity, made a daring proclamation that we believe that God would use our church to make a difference in the area around us called the Fox Valley. And the Fox Valley is defined by a river that starts in Elgin and goes all the way down to Yorkville. And if you're watching this on May 2nd, I want to invite you to join us tonight at 6 p.m. and hear more about how God is answering that prayer. Our success towards the goal of reaching the 2.7 million people in the Fox Valley area will only happen when the power of one person will say yes to leading a life group, to say yes to opening your home to Trinity Anywhere, to say yes to joining our tech team so that we can continue to broadcast messages like these that will go all the way out into the ends of the earth. It'll be those who say yes to working with our children and our teens. It's the power of one person to say yes in our greeter ministry, or even to sacrificially give to our power of one ministry in order to continue the work of mission and ministry at Trinity. Here's the main point I want to start with as we open up this series. No, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. Never underestimate the power of one person when they are sold out to Jesus Christ and advancing his kingdom. Well, this is a great place for us to move to the started out section of our talk sheet. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, and maybe this is your first series, we have a talk sheet that you can actually download from our website, trinitynazarene.org. And there you'll find talk sheets. And these talk sheets are divided up into three primary areas: start it out, talk it out, and live it out. And so now we're going to move into the start it out section of our talk sheet, where we want you to dialogue about this opening conversation about the power of one person. So utilize this time to meet with a group, press pause on the video, and then talk as a group. And when you're ready, just press play, and the video will automatically go to the next section. Or maybe you're watching this by yourself and you don't want to stop. Just wait 5 seconds, and again, the video will automatically go to the next section. Well, I'm going to encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, over this past week, I had the opportunity to be reading in 2 Chronicles, and this story really jumped out to me. And it's kind of an odd story to utilize today, talking about the power of one person. But let me give you some context here of what's happening in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We see that the kingdom of Israel is divided. In fact, it's divided into two kingdoms. There's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is called Israel, and the southern kingdom is called Judah. And there was a king of Judah named Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was a king who sought the heart of God, and he desired to go to the high places and tear down the altars that were created to false idols. He elevated the role of the priests and the Levites, and he brought back a worship of God to the people in the southern kingdom. Also, during this time, he realized that he went a little bit too far in a relationship with the other king, King Ahab, and it cost him. In fact, there were Ammonites and Moabites and termites and all these ites were now this vast army, as we learn in chapter 20, is coming against the people in this southern kingdom. And Jehoshaphat is scared. He doesn't know what to do. But we find that in verse 3, that he begged the Lord for guidance. Now, let me just tell you, if you're looking for an answer, if you are confused about what to do, you don't know what the next turn is or what, you know, life is going to throw at you, and you're confused, you need to beg to the Lord for guidance. That is one of the things that you need to do. So as we turn in our scripture, I want you to start at verse 9. Verse 9 gives us a little bit more of the story of what's happening here. And the people in the southern kingdom of Judah, the people of Judah, realize that it's God who has gotten them out of situations like this before. So this army is approaching. Jehoshaphat calls for prayer and fasting throughout the land, and they all gather together in Jerusalem, and they realize that whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. Now again, they had a powerful understanding of the role that God played in their safety, not just their safety, but also their future. Now skip down with me to verse 12. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but, now everybody say, but, but we are looking to you for help. Now, many times throughout scripture, and you'll hear me say this because I think it's both comical but true, there are big buts in the Bible, and all you other brothers can't deny. So even when the armies are attacking in your life, even when you feel powerless, even when you don't know what to do and the world seems so confusing, look to the Lord for help. That is so important for us. As we begin to talk about the power of one person, it's recognizing immediately when the armies attack, when we feel powerless, when we don't know what to do. A person of influence and the power of one person is that the nature of turning to God and saying, Lord, help us. Now, you may think that the power of one person that we're going to talk about today is Jehoshaphat, but that's actually not the case. Jehoshaphat's pretty cool. But there's someone else in this story, in the history of Judah, that rises to the surface as the powerful and influential person that he was. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 13 and 14 tells us, as all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. This is important. His name was Jahaziel. Now, his actual name was way more harder to pronounce than Jahaziel, but our English version of saying it is Jahaziel, so it works. Son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. Now, there's some really important names that are actually listed in Jahaziel's lineage, but I want you to check this out. Jahaziel's grandfather was a part of the Israeli special forces. He was one of David's mighty warriors. And he wasn't just one of David's mighty warriors. He was listed as one of the top three warriors and became the captain of the guard for King David. That's Jahaziel's grandfather, Benaiah. Now, this is interesting. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, we learn that Benaiah killed two of the Moabite champions. He chased a lion into a pit. And by the way, it was snowing just for the fun of it. And he killed an Egyptian warrior utilizing the own Egyptian warrior's spear. This dude was bad. Now, could you imagine Jahaziel sitting at the feet of his grandfather and his grandfather's telling him stories? I remember when I went into that pit and there was a lion in there, you know, and Jahaziel's like, well, you know, why, Papa? Why'd you go into the pit? You know, and he's like, just because I wanted to kill a lion. I mean, there's crazy stuff going on here. I mean, Benaiah was a bad dude. And his grandson saw and lived out the stories of his fearless grandfather. So now, skip down with me to verse 15. He, meaning Jahaziel, said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The Spirit rested upon one person in order to bring a message to everyone. Now, if that sounds familiar, there's a lot of biblical examples of that very thing happening. In fact, if you think about the Spirit of the Lord that rested on Moses in order to free the people of Israel from the tyranny and the slavery in Egypt, it was the Spirit that rested on Joshua to lead the people into the Promised Land. It was God's Spirit that rested upon David in order for him to be the king of the people and to expand the territory of the people of Israel. Now, what about the New Testament? Where do we find the Spirit of the Lord resting upon one person in order to bring a message to all? Well, you don't have to go very far before you get to Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon Jesus to advance his Father's work and his ministry throughout the country. Peter spoke with authority and stood up because of the Spirit's leading on his life. The message that was given to Philip and how he was just one person, but he had such a significant impact to an Ethiopian eunuch that the eunuch looked at a body of water and said, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" I mean, this is really impressive stuff. The Spirit is what led Paul in his determination of which way to go. Was he supposed to go to this land, to that land? It was the Spirit that blocked him from going into certain countries and places, all because he was led by the Spirit. But Paul was one voice that God used to proclaim his goodness throughout the entire land. I want you to know, all throughout the Bible, we see God using one person to accomplish his purpose. It happens all the time. Every time God wanted to do something significant, he called upon one person. He called upon one man or one woman or one child to step forward and to be obedient. And this, what we see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, is Jahaziel's moment of obedience. Look at verse 16. Tomorrow, he gives them instructions. Now, the instructions actually are a little comical if maybe you were standing there and you were an observer to the fact that, okay, God is using Jehaziel to send a message to all of us, and then he gives instructions. Tomorrow, march out against them. You know, and everybody's like, yes, we're going to march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jerul. I've been there. I know where that is. But you will not even need to fight. Wait, what? In fact, he goes on, take your positions. Yes, yes. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Stand still and watch. Watch the Lord's victory. We're not even going to have to fight. Listen, you don't show up to a battle with a good pair of standing still shoes. It just doesn't happen. And then Jehaziel continues, he is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Don't be afraid or discouraged. You know, they're standing around going, don't be afraid. We're literally just going to stand still and allow this army to come towards us. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. And we know through the remainder of the story, that's exactly what they did. They truly did believe that God was using Jehaziel to proclaim that God was going to fight for the people, that they simply needed to stand still and to watch as he proclaimed the victory for them. In fact, Jehoshaphat, right after this reference, it said that he bows his face low to the ground, and everybody took his cue, and they too bowed with their faces low to the ground. And he communicated to them, believe in the prophets, believe in the power of God, and watch as he fights for you today. Now, the next couple of verses are actually, again, kind of comical if you look at it, because they tell us that the first thing Jehoshaphat does is he sends the choir out ahead of the army. So now this is kind of funny, but the singing was so bad that the Ammonites and the Moabites just began killing themselves. Well, okay, well, that's not really true. But it is true that he sent the choir out to sing praises to God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. They began to sing, and they were chanting. The people of Israel were singing God's praises. And then in that moment, God came along, and he confused the Ammonites, and he confused the Moabites, and they began to literally kill each other. But I think a question that we have when we look at this scripture is, why do you think that they listened to Jehaziel? Why would they take his word for it? I mean, was it because he was a Levite? I mean, they had a prominent role in the community. Was it because his grandfather was Benaiah? I mean, that's kind of a cool lineage. They probably would have known that, you know, hey, this is Benaiah's grandson who's speaking. Was it because he knew the enemy's plan? I mean, he gave specific detail. God, through Jehaziel, gave specific detail about where the army was going to come up and how they were supposed to fight. But I really think that there's one primary reason why they believed what Jehaziel was saying, and that was because of prayer and fasting. You see, in the beginning of chapter 20, we see that Jehoshaphat led the people in prayer and fasting. And this is important too, because when you are going to follow someone who you believe has been given a voice for everyone, you want to pray and fast to determine if this is of God or if this is of man. Now, think about how that they prayed. They prayed in verse 10, don't you see us, God? We're being attacked. And we're afraid. In verse 12, they say, won't you stop them? You know, God, please, we need your help. And they admitted that they were powerless. You see, if you want to have that power from God, you need to be weak so that he can be strong in you. In fact, the power of one person begins when we admit that we are powerless and we need God. They said, we don't know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. Now, as soon as that prayer left Jehoshaphat's lips, the Lord was already answering. I mean, how amazing is that? And here's the truth. God answered their prayer through the power of one person. Jehaziel is not mentioned very often in Scripture. In fact, the only other place that we see Jehaziel's name is in 2 Kings, and it's a retelling of the same story. But Jehaziel goes down in history because he stood up, he addressed the nation, the community, because God had put it on him by his Spirit to share this message. God could have chosen anyone. In fact, God could have spoken directly to Jehoshaphat. That would have almost made sense, but he didn't. He chose Jehaziel. I never want us to underestimate the power of one person. We can't underestimate what God can do through one person. Just like he chose Jehaziel, a person who didn't necessarily probably stand out in the crowd. He wants to use you. He wants to choose you. We are all Jehaziels, and we have our Jehaziel moments where we too can become powerful because God's Spirit is working through us. Well, again, this is a great place for us to move to our talk it out section. So it'll be a good opportunity for us to kind of dialogue about the Scripture, to recognize this pattern of we're not strong enough. We're not powerful enough. There's an army coming against us. God, we're looking to you for help. And then God answers that prayer, but he does it through an unlikely source. So we're going to talk about that in our talk it out section. Again, if you're watching this with a group, just press pause, dialogue, discuss together. And then when you're ready, come back and press play and we'll go to the next section. If you're watching this by yourself, maybe take this opportunity, still look at the talk it out section and dialogue with maybe somebody on the phone or send them a text or journal. I mean, these are all really great things that you can do in order to go deeper in the message content today. And then, like I said, if you're watching this and you just want to keep going, wait 5 seconds and the video will automatically go to the next section. Well, we tend to think in order to be a difference maker that we have to be famous or smart or rich or even powerful. And let me tell you, that is simply not true. The one thing that you need is obedience. You see, God desires to use you in order to be a difference maker. In fact, the number one difference between a difference maker and a difference faker is obedience. How obedient will you be when God's voice is filtering through you to be the difference in the community or the world around you? You are a powerful influence maker. You don't have to be powerful or rich or smart. You have to be obedient. You have to come to the Lord with open arms and say, I don't know which way to go, but Lord, I'm going to believe that you are going to show me the way. When the armies are coming against you, when it seems like you're powerless and you don't know what to do, we need to turn to the Lord to be our help. The power of one person, again, begins when we allow God to work through us. Don't miss your Jehaziel moment. Don't miss your opportunity to be a Jehaziel to the people around you. And it might not even be to speak like Jehaziel did. It could be to serve as the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. One thing that we talk about with power of one often is that the power of one person can make a difference in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, which comes from Acts 1:8. And in fact, I want you to know that throughout this series, we're going to keep looking at the being influential and joining with Jesus in his kingdom mission. He's already out there working in the world, and we get to join with him and be on mission with him in the world. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we pause and we come to you recognizing that you tend to use the unknown people to do incredible things. You use ordinary people to do extraordinary things for your kingdom. Lord, I can admit that there have been multiple times in my life, and even right now, where I feel pretty ordinary. But Lord, I am blessed with the opportunities that I have experienced myself in obedience to see how you use an ordinary person like me to do extraordinary things for your kingdom. Lord, just like you used Jehaziel, I pray that you would utilize us today. Each person that is watching this today would recognize their significance, recognize the power that they do have, to realize that even in their own life, that there are times they need to stand back and simply watch as you fight for them. So Lord, help us not to miss these moments. Lord, help us to be still and to pray and to fast and to be able to see where you are working and then join you in that mission. Lord, we love you, and I'm thankful so much for the influence that you have on our lives and the desire there is to recognize the power of one person today. Again, we pray this now in your name. Amen. Well, as we end each of our time together, and I hope that you are able to connect with our blessing, and I just want to encourage you to open up your hands to receive this blessing. And if you would like, we always encourage people to say it with us so that it becomes a part of our daily living and our week. And so would you say this with me? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Say it with me. You are sent.